cross-section of one of the old trees that's been cut down.
Here I was born. And there I died. It was only a moment for you. You took no notice.
I think I've seen this movie before.
Shh.
When I was a kid, I saw it on TV.
Don't talk.
Oh, I did see it before.
Old trees.
Have you been here before?
Yes.
When?
I don't...
When were you born?
I don't recognize this.
Long ago.
Where?
What's the matter?
Tell me. Madeline, tell me.
No.
Madeline, tell me.
It's just like what's happening with us.
No, I can't tell you.
Like the past. The movie never changes. It can't change, but every time you see it, it seems different because you're different. You see different things.
If you can't change anything because it's already happened, you may as well smell the flowers.
What flowers?
Somewhere in the light.
It's an expression.
I mean, we're talking about making this real, you know, and that's something.
Oh, yeah, dude. I've totally been all about the breakdown of the word together to get her. I still don't know what it means, but I...
The Shaman.
You missed all the A material, Will.
We're bound to wait all night. She's bound to run amok. Invested in nothing at any height. To each his own. The garden is sorting out. She curls her lips on a bow. I don't know if I'm dead or not.
It's a metaphor of the way cinema progresses. You know, you get like radio, black and white, you get color, and you get this like Avatar movie, you know, 3D stuff.
Well, I mean, me personally, the way I look at all of this is a progression, like you said, James. And I don't know, to me, I feel better when I'm on the sinkhole and collaborating. It feels like the ideas make more sense. It gives me more of a peace of mind because I know that, you know, people are nodding to what I'm saying instead of just, you know, being out there and you know, doing the daily ego thing where you think you might be crazy or not, which I know that a lot of you other guys have experienced. But
I've never done that.
Yeah, bullshit.
You gotta know you're crazy.
But see... I think that that's the next step is taking the sinkhole, you know, thing to a new level with audio and visual and the bumper stickers and the t-shirts. I mean, don't you guys see that there's like a common thread between all of us? We all have like common, not just the
way we're
all
very artistic.
We're all very artistic. We all, you know, at some point or another, we're into conspiracy theory. We've all read similar books. We've all got the same personality types. I mean,
we all come from the same priesthood, so.
Yeah, that's no.
We're just like.
Said.
Oh, totally, man! Like this is totally what it is. Like it's, and I do fundamentally believe it's, you know, we're all just we are connected that profoundly. So we're just, you know, reawakening with this new you know, flavor, and and that it's just going to blossom quite nicely. So
if you can't get invited into a mystery school, then you might as well start your own.
I mean, this is,
you got it.
And this one was, this was, what's beautiful about this one is that there was no overall plan. It sort of just arose like, you know, like a flower. It grows out of the universe. It's like there's this new mystical way of looking at the world. It's a new hermetic art that's evolved, and we're writing the parameters of it and the interpretation of it, and it's kind of just come out of the universe. So I feel like that's how, why I trust it, because there's not, the mind that is organizing it is not there's no individual that's masterminding it. We're all doing it together, and we all have our part, and it's just growing, I feel, and I just trust it because it's happening. That's, to me, the fact that we're having this conversation, I mean, we've never done this before, is just more and more proof of that. Like, the amazingness of everything that has happened in the last few years to bring this together is just proof of this flowering that's happening and what we're becoming. So I just keep trusting it and try not to make big stories about it in my mind, and just let it happen, you know, because that's sort of, to me, more natural. I think about it, I have theories about it and ideas about it, but what will happen regardless, right? So I just trust what's happening.
And I think at this point we should, like, you know, this was our big, yesterday Jake and I went and saw Legion, and, you know, it's all about faith and stuff. And, you know, increasingly, I know for Jake and I, we seem to, the more faith we've got, that it just, everything, you know,
speeds
up faster and everything like that. So it's, I think we're all in a, we should be entering into a good space these days to really have faith that it's just, it's in the, what's to come.
Yeah.
What is to come?
And it's not an idea. I mean, it's not, you're not having faith in an idea. You're having faith in yourself, in this, you know, in the experience you're having, not in some sort of, you know, object. You're just in this feeling that you have. That's sort of what I'm believing in. It's just this feeling that something is happening is what I'm.
The awareness.
Not in a symbol, not in a system, not in a, you know, not in something concrete, something that is tangible and is here right now, part of you.
The sync wings.
Yeah, the winks and the flow, you know, more a vibe than some sort of, you know.
That's kind of like a next level, though, because there's like winks that are like nodes, but then you've got flow, which is totally like the development of the movement of multiple nodes in time, all correlating. It's like that. It's like an organ, kind of like cells, and, you know, it's like another level.
Yeah, it's like our consciousness expanding into our environment at this rapid rate through the internet and all sorts of other stuff. And we're starting to like feel, you know, higher dimensional things. It's like we're seeing things come up. We're feeling it because it's part of us. I can see in the fabric of everything, there's this tiger pattern, or there's this pattern, or there's that pattern. You're feeling it almost because you're seeing it. It's just arising everywhere. So. Yeah,
I can't believe this Abe shit, man. I cannot believe this Abe shit. Because I've been seeing this shit for months, but I did not know anything about the Zoom.
This is Brock. This is all the Abe stuff really started steaming when Brock came on the scene.
Well, I know. It's, it's funny, man.
Well, it's just interesting to me because, you know, we have like archetypical symbols that we've messed with before, like Osiris and stuff like that. But there's also like a new generation of symbols that involve like people, like Albert Einstein's used a lot, Kennedy's used at certain points, and then of course like Abe Lincoln. But, you know, it evolves because there's nobody there like Carl Jung or Joseph Campbell to tell you what these symbols mean. You can only decipher them. It's like, you know, you have like mythology, like Zeus or Jupiter, and there's countless scholars who can tell you this is what, you know, Jupiter kind of means consciousness because, you know, Saturn didn't eat him or whatever. And but now you have like Einstein, or you have Abe Lincoln, or and there's other symbols too. Like right now I was just talking to Torre about it, sailboats. Sailboats are everywhere for me right now. So are frogs, but I have no fucking clue what they mean.
But it's just like trusting that it's part of a process. Like, I don't know if sailboats or frogs will become like a big thing or whatever. It'll just lead you to something new, right? But just trusting that whatever is arising is part of it. All the time. I mean, there's a million things that I'm into cockatoos right now. I'm into Gloria. I'm into so many things that I don't even mention on the blog, but then things will just come together and suddenly there'll be like an explosion where we all focus on one thing, like right now, Abe and Lincoln and whatever. So it's just sort of like everything just comes together and then aligns and everybody just taps into something, but it's all part of the texture.
Well, before I forget, I just wanted to, so like,
I'm totally in, Jim. I want to come. I'm going to give you a passport.
You guys hear that. It'll be good. Because I think for me, it's way more powerful doing this in
It gives
person.
Me an excuse to have a vacation, right? Get away from the kids and wife.
I don't have a license or passport because I was afraid of getting an RFID chip. But I'll go ahead and do it for this.
God dang it,
Chip. The chip's not so bad, man. Don't worry about it. It'll be
I was also trying to argue against the maritime admiralty thing. You know, I was like trying not to pay my taxes or claim to be an American or anything. But you can't leave.
Why am I not surprised at all? Out of all of us, James, I swear to God, you're the most paranoid by far.
You guys don't even know what like I'm thinking. I'm like totally about to like build a wagon that I can just like push around and live inside.
Nice.
You know, a friend of mine talked about the whole chip thing. Speaking of paranoia, but like if you could get someone posed the question, if you could get a chip that was connected to the internet on one end and then like connected to your brain on the other end so that you could tap into all the information ever through the internet through your brain, would you do that, or would that be, you know, too invasive? Would that be worth getting that chip if that was the payoff, if you could have access to the internet?
I think that's probably going to happen, but it might not happen through a chip.
Your plants, probably that's where it's going, right?
I don't by the way, did anybody see the uncanny like Narbianism that was in Avatar? Jeremy Narby wrote Avatar.
Narby?
Yeah, Jeremy Narby is the guy who basically said about the ayahuasca and everything being linked to your DNA going through the pictures. Jim could probably explain it better since he's actually had physical contact and probably taken ayahuasca with Narby. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you're right. Yes. Numerous times.
But I mean the goddess of the planet on Pandora was called Iowa or something like that, and then
oh man, that movie was made by ayahuasca. It's like ridiculous.
It's fucking unbelievable. I mean, I'm sitting there.
It's like looking at an Alex Gray painting.
Yeah.
It was made by Jesus Christ. Yeah. The Christ consciousness.
It was made by me.
Yeah,
I knew it.
That's right.
I knew it.
Yeah, we all helped make Avatar, believe me.
Well, I do, yeah. Like, we could, you know, the one thing idea was about, you know, trying to actually even, you know, we're all very prolific. Like, we could totally, it'd be neat if we could somehow land some publishing or do some kind of books or stuff. I mean, obviously it's tough to freeze things, but there's so much material that could be produced.
Dredged.
It'd be neat to be able to do, like, a synchromistic breakdown of Avatar.
Yeah,
because it's kind of, you know,
could go back and look at all the stuff.
Someone making ice.
Okay, wait, time out. Before we go any further, everyone, there's a mute button right next to your volume.
You see that? Oh, dude, that wasn't me.
Oh bullshit! Oh. It tells you who's making the noise.
I don't need to ice. I have no idea who was making ice. I think it was Richard. I haven't heard from him in forever.
I need some British accent. Come on, lay some on.
I don't see Richard.
Richard, you're there.
I'm here. Okay, I keep thinking I'm listening to a podcast. I forget that I can actually get involved for this.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting back and letting it wash over me here.
Oh, there you go.
It's interesting how much, to me, your voice sounds like Jake's voice. It's just with a little bit more.
What do you think?
Yeah,
they're similar. You guys both have the accents.
Yeah.
Well, Jake's from South Africa and I'm Scotland.
I think Richard's in my brain somewhere, no doubt. His things are very closely related to mine, and we're always thinking about the same things at the same time and doing posts at the same time about the same things, and then they come out, and it's sort of like whoever puts it out first.
That was Richard's
what's going on? Like,
when Richard started up, he was like, I don't want to be, I'm trying not to focus on Jake's blog because I want to do my own thing. And, yeah. And now, like, I read his last post. He's like, oh my gosh, it's just like Jake.
Yeah.
No, yeah, and that's what's going to happen to all of us.
All of us, yeah. I mean, it's different. Yeah. Resonance is very strange. We're figuring it out. I mean, there's all these dynamics, and we're starting to, like, you know, understand them. You know, it might take time. Who knows? It's very interesting how it all works. I don't even know. We're just working on it.
You know, like, I know Maestro Flores mentions how it's all moving to one point, right? And, you know, I do feel like, I mean, that's what we're going to start. We're obviously going there pretty fast with what we're doing, but, you know, I think it's going to increasingly bleed out exponentially.
Yeah.
From
it's pop, yeah. You know, it's pop. What we're doing is pop. It's not popular yet, but we're working on pop. But I think that's the point. It's like, once it gets noticed, because of the symbols we're using and the themes we're using, it's going to be very popular. That's my impression, and that's the point, because we want to spread consciousness and awareness, and I think it's because of the material we're using that it's getting ready for that, to spread as much consciousness as it can. I have that feeling that that's part of why. And it's because pop is so full of symbols. I mean, there's an interesting dynamic there. It's almost like the universe tricked us into being hypnotized by these things so that we could do what we're doing, you know, so we could bring consciousness to it, so that the once people start looking around at the world they've created, there's all this consciousness there. And we're working on putting that in there, so that there's this whole body of work and research into showing the symbols and the, you know, the alchemy and the wonder and the joy in this stuff that we've created already. So it's like it's being put in place by the universe. Now we're bringing consciousness to it, and then it just explodes. And, you know, it's part of the awakening of the entire planet. Just one facet of it.
I was still really paranoid of synchromysticism just looking at it from pop. I had to see it in world events, in the news, and right. In my own personal life.
Yeah.
Before I finally believed that it wasn't some, like, Hollywood agenda.
Right, right, right. That's part of it, yeah. Part of it's moving beyond that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Seeing through that, because then you're taking the power into consciousness's hands, and your awareness's hands, instead of saying there's some entity out there that's doing it. You're becoming closer and closer aligned with what's doing it.
It's like the mysteries don't want to stay hidden. And
no.
We don't necessarily have all the tools. Like, pop is a really good resource, but I was also just I'm amazed at, you know, the scraps of esoteric knowledge that we can find drifting around, or like any time I look at, you know, the Hebrew language, I'm just amazed. Yeah. Every time, you know, there's just tons of information there.
Yeah,
the 2772 thing is like a real big part of the gematria lessons I was looking at recently. Huh. And then your 27 thing started coming up. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
You weren't born in 72, were you, Jim?
No, 74. Okay. Last year of the tiger.
I just found out there are all the calendars in history, they're recorded between using 4 and 20 days for the week.
Huh.
And there's an actual calendar that has a 42 week schedule.
I like it.
Jim, you know how you're born in the year of the tiger. Do you think that this is your year? You know how you're bringing out your Gnosis video. Do you think this is?
God, I hope so. I mean, everything for me personally, I've you know, even if it was conscious or not, it all came to this year for me, you know. So I'm just riding it out. So I'm definitely going to make sure that film is done by the time the clock turns to 2011. So, but I mean, right now where I am with that is I'm just, I've got everything in the can, but in case, you know, things happen this summer, I can get that. And then I'm still looking for finishing funding, so. But everyone thinks I'm crazy. So.
I just thought pole shift was a pun for going beyond.
You thought that pole shift?
Yeah, since it's, you know, polar, you know, your red eye, blue eye, you're shifting poles.
You know, I mean, it's interesting, like, anything's possible. Like, you know, it's funny, like, I know that if I asked more directly with Maestro Flores just about, you know, things to come, he probably would have told me, and I've never,
hey,
but, you know, I'm open to anything's possible, you know.
Hey, Jake, did you ever look at Serapis?
What's that? Is that the...
Serapis.
Is that like a... Serapis? Have you used his picture before?
The aardvark?
No.
No, the guy standing on a crocodile with the dog, wolf, tiger...
Oh, yeah.
Serpent coil.
No, yeah. I never used that.
Yes, you... It was used in Hounds of Hermes post too, right before I showed Jim Carrey on top of the alligators and Pet Detective 2.
Oh yeah.
Serapis was Osiris a little bit later on. He was actually what we got the image of Jesus from, the white bearded guy who had a womanish face. That's Serapis. But
yep.
The bull Apis, the solar god, he's like a mixture between the solar bull and Osiris.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I heard that the they're talking about like Osiris and stuff. I was reading a Manly today or the other day that the lesser mysteries in Egypt were all about Isis, you know, and that makes me think of, you know, my first polar shift, just to call it that, when 9/11 happened and I got all into conspiracy theory. And then like the greater mysteries are Serapis and Osiris. So Manly lists them as two different people that they could bleed over, but I also get interested by this idea, you know, like the wondering what this green sun was that Chris Knowles is always talking about, and Thoth Hermes is said to irradiate, he's said to come from this, like, this hidden sun, this green luminance, and it's like inside the light. And so those are the, I'm just thinking about the mysteries and the big people. And so it was also interesting because I'm sure we have other people standing on crocodiles and people standing on these like dragons, these flaming dragons and stuff.
I like it. I'm looking right now at the computer screen here at Jim that's on the sinkhole, and you have Abraham Lincoln on the Night at the Museum poster, like showing, you know, he's got his fingers, like the three up and the thumb and the pointer A-okay. Finger, like A-OK, right?
Yeah.
And there's the dragon monster he's coming at him, right? Going, the mouth. I used to think of that galactic center, but I just think of it as, like, you know, I don't know, some sort of portal, the teeth, the sharp, jagged teeth, but it's totally a crocodile coming at Abraham Lincoln, you know, under the arch. You can see the keystone right above his head.
Yeah, yeah, good point.
So, I mean, there's a fucking rocket going off right next to the gator's mouth. So, I mean, it's all there. Planes, this taking flight stuff coming out of the arch, the rainbow with Abe. Gang, everything's A-okay, right? So
it's all gonna be like,
there's a dragon monster mouth coming at me, but it's all okay. See, that's the message, you know. It's like there's this fear of galactic center and of alignment and of I don't know, transcending, and there's the rainbow arch above me, but it's Abe is saying it's all okay, you know, and there's a fucking rocket going off.
It'll be good. You know, at some point, we're all going to have these, like, synchromistic salons where we're going to sit up with, like, this big teleconferencing. We'll be on our own spaces. And we'll be, like, this infinite archive of stuff. And we'll be like...
There was information transfer, I said. In the film, Kevin said. As storyline? Or do you mean from the film and audio track to the audience? There is subliminal material in that film. Subliminal material in that film, Kevin said. Subliminal material. Subliminal material. And there is the one with subliminal material in that film. The one with but there is subliminal and there is the one with subliminal material in that film. It's like a conspiracy. It seemed to me that the Christian fish sign appeared on it once, as the design. I thought so too the first time. time I look closer. Double heel. Right. In the form of a repeated design running around the top of the pitch. Saw the man subliminal in your brain, your right hemisphere, connected with the double helix design on the picture. Well, we'll all have to go see the picture again, Kevin. I'm going to. 90% of the details are designed to go by you the first time. Actually, only go by your conscious mind and register in your unconscious. I'd like to study the film frame by frame. It's like a conspiracy. Anyhow, the film alludes to it elliptically. Everything is in pieces, all the information. Does the goddamn film change every time you see it? Holy fuck, what a thought. A different film each time. No, that's impossible.
The thing that kind of, it doesn't necessarily suck about synchro, but is it so fast? I mean, really and truly, it's kind of like the cusp of the pop wave, because... You know, yep. I don't know if it was intentionally set up to be like this by you, Katsa, but you like you were talking about the Trisaurus Rex or whatever's on the monster or the museum, Night at the Museum, where it used to be Galactic Center and now it's changed. Everything keeps changing. Yep. I mean, and I know like Manly P. Hall, he actually said that that's what symbols do. As the student goes through the mysteries, the symbols and their meanings change. But I mean, if that's
can I say something real fast? It's kind of like if you take a projector and you turn the focus off and you slowly bring it into focus. It's not necessarily changing. It's just it's developing, you know.
Yeah, and everything is infinite depth. It's like really.
It's still.
The case. I mean, it's practically the case. If you look at the atoms, you can just keep going. You know, if you look out in space, everything just keeps going. You're just learning that if you take any individual thing and you cut it out of the universe and you say, okay, well, this is a thing, then that thing is infinite.
I mean, I think we've got a very well-functioning black hole developing.
Yeah,
we're all like, I mean, that's we're flying, right? So, I mean, that's I think that's what I know I was talking to Jake about just about with this idea of is moving really fast. I think there's a place for both. For me, then I'm interested in moving really fast because it's like just seems to be the. Like, I almost feel like, we're going to, something will ground out in some level and we'll be able to take stock.
Yeah. There's always, I mean, this is just a rapid, like, arch up and then there'll be an ebb down and, you learn to ride the wave,
Yes.
I don't think it's just going to be like frenetic forever and just get worse and worse and worse and just more intense and you're just going to go poof, explode. No, I think there's ebbs and there's lulls. And then there's what causes ebbs and lulls, and that's what I'm more interested in, really. But still, you ride the wave while being aware of what causes waves,
Yeah, it's not like the Teeth lost galactic center resonance. It's just they picked up the Venetia Densha.
Yeah, and it's like it's a dragon, right? It's the Kundalini energy. To me, it still has galactic center, but it's more. I want the box to be perpetually flexible, it must be a constantly morphing thing that still retains all the old resonance, and you can go back and look at all those things. It doesn't like change as in now it used to be galactic center, but it's no longer galactic center. It's more like it's galactic center and it's this and it's this and it's this, it's like it has depth.
Well, it makes it difficult, because like you said, Jake, there's a million things that you want to talk about, right? And so it kind of makes it hard for me, because sometimes, I have to do a post all at once. I know you keep them marinating for like 2 months and stuff sometimes, but for me, like it changes so quick that by the time that I end a post, I'm thinking along completely different terms than when I started it. And making doing videos and everything like that. I mean, I really feel like having the sinkhole makes it easier, because once I put a small bit of information out there and then Torre jumps on, Richard jumps on, and before you know it, you have this huge post where everything that you needed to talk about is discussed, but you didn't really do anything.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, and that's flow is you work sometimes even hard, but you don't even almost notice it because it's just like it's flow. You know, you're just right. When you're going with the water, with the stream, it's like you have the push of the whole thing working with you. So sort of like it's not really effort in that way. It's like it's work, but it's not effort. And it's also just learning to deal with your fear, you know, like all these resistance things about like, I have this post and what's happening to it? Will it be old? Will it be new? You know, all this dialogue in your head, just dealing with that is part of the, you know, healing is just working with that. It's part of how you create, you know, moving beyond fear, just constantly and just trust. I don't know, faith. It's like all these different words for the same thing, flow, faith. Whatever you want to call it, it's.
All right. Do we not have John Kidd? I mean, I see him green on here, but I don't see him on the conference call.
Oh, John Green.
John Green.
I'm trying to get in touch with Ty, but I was over on Facebook looking for him. He's not responding to my texts on Skype. Oh, wait, no.
Oh, no, I'm here.
Oh, I see you now. Yep. Oh, yeah, I didn't know because your mic looked like it went off.
Yeah, it did.
Okay. Did your phone just start ringing? Is that how you got back on?
Yeah, I got like an invitation to the call, and I just jumped in while everybody was talking. So I figured I'd shut up for a second.
So do you guys want to talk again? Let's say like right after Valentine's Day.
What's it like taking ayahuasca the very first time? Is it one of the most powerful experiences, or does it tend to kind of snowball the more you take it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it all depends. It's like each person. Like some people take it and they take it numerous times and they just don't get much out of it. Mm. Some people, you know, first time they're talking to God. So, you know, you guys are all guys that would. I'm pretty good at now guessing kind of how people are going to go. And I mean, you guys are already taken as far as I'm concerned. So you would catch up pretty quick kind of thing. But it's, you know, every time you do it, it's totally different, right? So, you know, the more you do it, the more experiences you can have. But, you know, it's nothing, I really don't like anything that, the experiences that we go through with, and the ceremony with Flores and his medicine is very different than a lot of the stuff you read on the web. So a lot of people come in from Googling it with a lot of fear and that just doesn't really happen with what we do.
Isn't it funny that like Steve Wellner's all into supplement stuff too? It's like a big thing. He was all like, got me into that, monatomic elements for like a minute there and stuff, and
he's into that.
Yeah, like got me to like buy my first bag of Amanitas. Those things taste terrible.
They taste like death, man.
Yeah.
Is ayahuasca nasty too?
You know, Meister makes it quite a good tasting brew, but the thing is, The more I take it, the more like, you know, it's like cocaine or something. Like, I like before I take it, I start getting shivers and like, you know, or I can just feel my body reacting to the fact that I'm about to take it. So
it tastes to me like some kind of organic Red Bull. Really, it's like this really potent, thick, syrupy, cough syrupy Red Bull thing happening. I don't know. I like it.
Oh yeah, and, I mean, for me, like the idea of eventually being able to like. Get us together in a ceremony like that would just be awesome.
Now here's a question. I recall reading your experience, Jake, and it was pretty vivid. Would you want to do ayahuasca? How frequently after an experience like that?
Me? Like I don't know. I try and trust the universe. I try not even think about it. Like if I find myself, if everything has been organized to the point where. I'm sitting somewhere and there's a cup of ayahuasca in my hand, that's when I'll take it. But
so it's up to me.
It's like, yeah, if Jim invites me and I'm around and I don't, then I'm.
But so how many times have you done it?
Six times, five or really? Six times, something like that.
Wow. How many times have you taken acid, Jake?
oh no, I don't know, like 50 times or something like that. But that was all like when I was a teenager or something. Like more when I was 16, I was doing it like every weekend for 6 months.
Did you ever find any DMT?
No, never done that.
You know, it's funny. I have a friend here, just one of these kids that did the ceremony with me the other night, and he extracts his own DMT and smokes it.
So, wow, he's really smart. That stuff's complicated to make.
He is. I love these kids. They're 19 and they totally get all this stuff. They're like so into plants, and I'm just like in shock. I was such a boob at 19.
Still a boob.
Yeah, I am still a boob too. You know,
you have to boil rocket fuel to extract DMT.
Really, eh? Oh, I should film him doing this then.
Yeah, like at a distance.
What do you do?
Artist who you guys would seriously like fit right at home in there. His artwork is collage based, and it's just full of, he makes his work from found objects, so it's a lot of, and he's 80 years old, so he was born in 1930 and he's been collecting. He never throws anything away, and all these things turn up in collage sculptures, and he started doing two-dimensional work for the last decade, but looking at all his sculptures, you see all these symbols just pop up everywhere. You know, like there's an Amanita and Santa Claus and all these decapitated heads and an alligator and a tiger over here. And I go to work every day in that place. It's kind of bonkers. And like I walk through a door and they've got Jesus' Last Supper picture and somebody stuck an Apple sticker on his face and it's got the number 42 on it. And what? It's just a weird place. Yeah.
You said that right when we hit over to the 40s. What the hell?
Victims to the sinks.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've been thinking about Jupiter a lot. I mean, of course, but because...
Yeah, of course it's 124.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It's
124 my time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Two, yeah.
Yeah, mine's
1124.
We should write about the synchronicity stuff. It's pretty amazing.
but because I mean, what Kev brought to my attention was the fact that, you know, mercy or Chasid is associated to luck and abundance, and Jupiter is associated to luck and abundance. But I've been reading Synchronicity by Carl Jung, and he associates synchronicity to magic and everything, and like Jake said, that synchronicity, or what we write about, synchromysticism, is magic, or will appear as magic to other people. I mean, that's it in a nutshell, right? Jupiter is the god of sync. Jupiter is the god of luck. He's the god of sync.
I think I agree, man.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds... Well,
I would
what I've come to is that for the longest time, we've looked to science for the answer, and the answer now, it's mysticism. I mean, that's... The religion of modernity is reason, pure reason, and we've taken all the wonder out of the world. And the if there's anything that can save us, it's got to be mysticism.
Yeah, but we're learning two things by that. It's sort of, you're learning that the everyday world is mystical, and you're learning that the mystical is the everyday world. It's sort of like you're healing the split of seeing the world as dead or uninteresting or whatever, and now you're just learning it's a facet of a spirit, you know.
Yeah, and it's like,
and it is magic, but then at the same time you learn everything, because we're seeing it in pop, you're seeing it in everything. So it's sort of like you're learning that everything is this and this is everything. So it's sort of like, it's not like it's becoming magical.
We've lost the magic.
We're losing it. Well, we're getting it.
And Jupiter's pointing to the sinks, pointing to the magic, as you know, and it's like to bring joy, right? So
yeah,
I think it's that seems.
I don't know. That's the only thing I'm not on board with.
Is what?
Is Jupiter? because I'm still reading Jupiter is patriarchal, the vocal authority, you know, the throat like, chakra, the blue flower.
I feel like the patriarchal aspects of Jupiter more so come from just that it's an archetypal energy that affords us things. It affords us, you know, flow and destiny or fate, you know, and it's not so much that it's you know, any kind of intelligent, like, patriarchal kind of thing, but it's just that you could say that the energy has a, you know, like a bearing quality to it, like it bears things for you, you know, like that. That's just my kind of understanding of.
It's also changing. It's just like the crocodile, the dragon, the T-Rex, all that stuff. Like what we used to think of as Jupiter is changing. It's flowering. It's like literally, it's a seed, just like all symbols, and their context is dynamic. And Jupiter, I feel like, is changing. Like our consciousness waking up to Jupiter is changing what it means. So I don't see it as static. I don't see the past associations as necessarily relevant. They're clues to me. But
the other
I trust
end,
far more Night at the Museum poster than I trust was something I would read in Crowley or anything like that.
Yeah.
the other end of this, though, is Jupiter Zeus is the father, and many of us are fathers. And so I feel a lot of this is speaking directly to us in that role.
Okay. And then so what do we do to I agree. It's like, you know, I have two daughters and
so we still have to be fathers, but at the same time, we have to try and balance this imbalance, you know, because obviously Western civilization comes from kind of this patriarchal place.
It's pop, right? Pop is dad. So, and then learning what the relationship between pop and mom. So it's Jupiter is pop, and pop is dad, and it's father. But then what it all comes from, the womb, is like, you know, mom. So it's sort of like you're just learning how this works.
Maybe.
Okay, do any of you guys know who King Felix is?
Yeah, I heard that. That's the,
K-Dick.
That's an anagram for something, isn't it?
Philip K. Dick was talking about it as some sort of savior or something, King Felix. Or
right.
Some sort of pattern he was seeing his work was some early variation of synchromysticism, no doubt. You know, he was seeing patterns in the fabric and attributing meaning to them. And yeah.
When I was doing the angel thing that I just did about the angel of Jupiter, or whatever, he called that. Yeah. Some people say it was an angel, and some Jewish mystics say that it was what is it called, a theophany? Okay, so the angel. Some people say it was a theophany, and I realized that I knew that word from somewhere, so I looked it up. And what it means is like a contact with God, like the burning bush or, you know, the angel or whatever. But I realized where I had heard it from is Philip K. Dick. Philip K. Dick said that his experiences over what created Valis and what created Radio Free Albemuth and what created all of that junk was based on his supposed theophany or whatever with God. And if you look in Wikipedia, it actually goes through all the theophanies like Muhammad, and at the very bottom it says modern experiences, and it mentions Philip K. Dick. So what I was saying was he attributed to he getting information that the Savior would be born, and so he said that the code for what he thought the Savior was going to be was King Felix. Felix is the Latin word for luck, and so if you think of like we were talking about 4-2. Being associated with luck too, then that's King Felix or King Jupiter. So, I mean, I don't want to seem weird to anybody, but are we seeing symbols of a Messiah being born, or is it just symbolism?
Well, I mean, it's what does that Messiah mean? Is it a human? Is it a state of consciousness, or is it both? Yeah. You know, do they work together? I don't know.
I don't think it's material. It's not probably not something material. Yeah, it would make more sense if it was, you know, something of the mind.
What's being born is the is consciousness. It's the awareness of being here. It's and all the stuff is just like, I mean, it's ridiculous, but realizing that you exist is that. And that is sort of the awakening. It's just it's so simple. That's the problem of the insight, the key insight, it's too easy. You know, it's too simple, and people can't believe that it's that simple. How can me existing, that knowing that I exist, be the point? And all this other stuff that we're doing are just, it's just this dance to allow people to, an elaborate dance to allow people to realize, you know, that your simple existence is the point, you know.
Exactly.
But
is anyone else mildly offended by the mystery and the veiling?
Offended?
Yeah, yeah. You don't think, doesn't it seem like, you know, there's this, there's heritage,
there's a heritage
of keeping secrets, and then you find out, oh, the universe also does the same thing, and here it's giving you little bits at a time, leading you on. Doesn't it make you say, hey, what's
you wouldn't read the story if you knew what was going on, though, right?
Yeah, it's just a game. It's part of, and I mean, part of us is making that game, so it's sort of like, it's not, I wouldn't call it offensive. I mean, I understand what you mean when you say that, and it's kind of, it's a kind of a poetic way of looking at it, but it,
be nice to read the last chapter.
Hey, can I jump in here?
Well, yeah,
please.
I think that it's just, the whole point of it is paying attention and not completely zoning out. Like,
yeah.
That's what I think.
A short time while our extraterrestrial invaders will steal our time when we're not paying attention. If you're paying attention, they can't steal your time. But if you're not paying attention, they steal a few minutes here, a few seconds there, a half hour here. Pretty soon with the whole day gone, you don't know what happened. The short time mob is stolen your time. So the cure is attention, which Aldous Huxley also agreed with in his novel, Ireland, the enlightened ruler of his utopian island, has released minor birds that fly all over the island and keep shouting, attention, 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 just so everybody doesn't lose their time and drift off.
So, but you, before you go, you said everyone thinks you're crazy. Did you say that?
Wow, that's good. Not everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's comforting, at least.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But it's like, I love it. People are like, you seem really grounded, but you're just insane. I'm like, that's. But yeah, it's the same as it looking like magic. Like, it will look like insanity. But you know, it's also like, like these last 5 years being in Winnipeg, I know my community, and I'm very open and know lots of people and do lots of community organizing and stuff. And it's gotten easier, so easier recently to be, you know, more outwardly insane.
Yeah, but it's difficult to explain in a nutshell what, you know, I'm like, well, I kind of belong to this group. It's not a religion, but, you know, we're all kind of together doing stuff on the computers.
Yeah,
so you play video games? Or?
Yeah. Like, I, you know, I don't tell many people, like, you know, I just find increasingly there's, like, this is my wife. I find that increasingly we're being given these really beautiful little synchronicities that's opened her up now to, you know, I've actually explained to her February 12th stuff, and she's received it, and I'm like, wow, it's a new day.
Yeah.
So.
No, so. And I think what keeps happening is every now and then, you know, you keep monitoring pop, and it shows you, like, the Matrix is a big jump, and Avatar is a big jump, and that kind of thing, and then there are new concepts that become, like, consensus, normal, you know? So now the idea of plant consciousness and having an avatar, and then that just being connected to another consciousness, that kind of stuff is becoming normal. So I think, you know, as things develop, you know, you can talk about things more and more, but, you know, because we're at the cusp, at the forefront, we're pioneers. So the idea is to bring this into consciousness and make this tangible and realizable and that kind of thing. But things are adapting so fast. That's sort of what's so exciting right now. It's like, the idea is to stay ahead of that curve and see if you can, because, once this becomes pop, if it does ever become pop, then that's sort of the big joke is like, what happens then? What happens? Yeah, mysticism happens is pulp, you know?
And it's interesting. I know with like, you know, I feel fortunate I've had Juan Flores with me because, you know, we're really learning to, you know, see the world like he does. Right. And, you know, I was just talking to, I'm going to probably do a workshop soon on some of this kind of stuff. And I was like, you know, what do I do most of is I walk around the city. Right. And I just realized, you know, it's like him walking through the jungle. Right. And,
yeah.
And I know, you know, for him, you know, he's been all along the way, he's been the guy saying, no, you're not crazy. You know, and I just, you know, it just seems like the sinkhole is what it's been all about. It's this kind of work, you know, which is basically Ashton Inkin perspective of seeing the world. But
going for a walk through your environment and seeing signs and symbols, that's ancient stuff, man. It's just coming back in this new form.
Donation, if you please, for Passage Through Sheerwood Forest. Please help support for bandwidth and memory. Although, old episodes that get erased to make way for new episodes can be found under Synchromysticism at archives.com. Look for the Sync Book with authors like Goro Adachi, Andrus Jones, and Violator from Stagianport, and other weirdos, out September 11th, 2011. Syncbook.com. Oh, and check out the synclist.blogspot.com. Wait, is there something else I'm forgetting?
Check yourself, bitch.
Stay tuned for part 2 coming soon.